EPA Regional Administrator and College of St. Rose alum Judith Henk will be speaking at the college on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. The subject? Climate change. 2014 was the hottest year on record. Judith says the only way that we can rise to the challenge of climate change is if every one of us gets involved. She says it's important to learn the scope of the problem and the steps that the EPA is taking to fight climate change. And as well, she'll be offering tips on how people can help. The title of her talk is A Call to Action. In 2009, Judith was appointed U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Regional Administrator of Region 2 by President Obama. Previously, she was Deputy Secretary for the Environment in the New York State Governor's Office, responsible for policies and operations of the state's environmental protection agencies. She's a dear friend to WAMC and a great pleasure to welcome my fellow Rosebud back to the roundtable. How are you?
I'm great, and it's nice to be publicly acknowledged as a fellow Rosebud. Hi, Joe.
It's very nice to talk to you. Well, it's nice you're coming back to your alma mater. You've done this before, but it's nice to have you come and speak. And the whole idea is to talk about climate change. And really, it seems, just in what I've been reading about what you're going to be talking about, is to take a rather proactive approach.
Yeah, absolutely. I love going back to St. Rose. It's such a wonderful college, and it's a big part of my life. It sends a lot of people out into the world to do good things. So it's always fun to come back to the St. Rose campus. And what better issue to talk to students about than climate change? We really need all hands on deck. It's kind of obvious that it's not being solved in Washington, and so we need a community effort. We need leaders. We need young people being informed and taking action on this issue. And those are some of the things we're going to discuss on Thursday night.
How much do you believe is in our hands that we actually have some control over?
Oh, it's all in our hands. It's a question of, are we going to make it easy to solve or impossible to solve? And the longer we wait, the harder it's going to be. It's like many things in our lives, right? You know that there's a problem, you need to solve it. The more you put it off, the harder the solution is. And we can't afford that foot dragging when it comes to the planet. I'm glad you mentioned last year was the hottest year on record. It's part of a trend. 14 of the 15 warmest years on record have all fallen in the first 15 years of this century. So the time to debate whether climate change is happening is really past, although I know a small number of people are still debating it.
Right.
The solutions are reachable. What's missing is the political will to really affect the major change that we need to invest in cleaner energy sources and more sustainable transportation choices that will allow us to really get a handle on the problem before we have more Hurricane Sandys, more Hurricane Irenes, more record heat waves. None of that is good for the environment or public health. It's also really bad for the economy, and I think a lot of people are waking up to that.
You are in the thick of it as part of the EPA, and obviously this has been something that has been on your radar throughout your career.
Mm-hmm.
My interest, though, is to your point about foot dragging. I mean, we in this country, we as a government, we as this is when I said of how much of this is out of our hands.
Yeah.
When you say about the political will, I mean, it seems like, okay, we can go to this and we can scream and yell and do all of this. And yet it seems like we've been dragging our feet for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think about the history of this issue, and I remember speaking at, when I was a young staff person with NYPERG all those years ago, I remember speaking at a rally at the United Nations with this little-known guy, Bill McKibben,
yeah.
And it was the mid-80s, and people have been raising concerns before that. So here we sit in 2015. I think we've wasted a lot of time. But there's certainly still time to act, but we can't wait for Washington to solve it. It needs to be a collaboration from every level of government, from boardrooms at major Fortune 100 companies to college campuses. City councils, you know, it's not an issue that you can sit back and say someone else has to solve it. This is an issue where all of us have a role to play, whether you're the president of a company or a president of a sorority. We can all do something. There's no silver bullet solution. I know it can be a rather depressing topic at holiday gatherings. I'm often not invited because people know I will talk about climate change.
Kind of a doubter, yeah.
Yeah. How are you? How's everything? How's the family? Do you know last year was the hottest year on record? But look, you've got to acknowledge the problem and then take action.
Well, you know, Bill McKibben, who's been a dear friend of mine for a long time, and I think when his first book came out, he did the first talk show I ever did was with Bill, and so that was many years ago. And but his latest book is called Earth, E-A-A-R-T-H, which basically says, look, we have a different planet now. This is not the same planet, mm-hmm. and yes. his idea on this. His thoughts on this are, we have changed. There are things that we have lost that we will never get back. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have optimism. He does. But there's a lot of pessimism there of what we've lost and what's going to happen very soon if we don't do something incredibly quickly. I'm interested in your thoughts, on this, especially being someone who is looking at, as you say, a situation that doesn't have the political will when you realize that on the other side of the wall, the clock is ticking.
Yeah, good point. So, you know, some of my family and friends say my biggest fault is I'm clinically optimistic.
Yeah.
And that's a problem because you have to look at the facts and follow the science. And McKibben is correct. We've lost record numbers of species. I do a lot of work on protecting coral reefs in the part of EPA that's not New York and New Jersey, in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. The coral reefs have really been decimated due to warmer ocean temperatures than, by extension, fisheries are really being stressed because the coral reefs are the nurseries for fisheries.
By the way, are you the tannest of the EPA administrators?
Yeah. I only work hard when I go to the Caribbean
okay,
to do work. It's true. I work from morning till nightfall.
I apologize for interrupting. Go ahead. I apologize.
No, that's right. Everyone gives me a hard time about that. I'm only a little sensitive. But, you know, we are already seeing the impacts of climate change. And the question is, you know, how bad does it have to get before we act? You know, within the climate debate, there are kind of two big important pieces of action. One is mitigation, to reduce carbon pollution at the source, and then secondly, adaptation. And for a while, people thought, well, if you focus on adaptation, you know, making our communities better prepared for storms, for instance, are you throwing in the towel on mitigation? And we're not. And Hurricane Sandy really taught me that. We can't say that climate change caused Hurricane Sandy, but we do know that the warmer ocean temperatures made Sandy a lot stronger than it would have been. And, you know, I was in the EPA Emergency Response Center for a long time after Sandy. The devastation was unbelievable. And, you know, this was 159 people died. This was one storm, two states. Congress provided $60 billion to help rebuild New York and New Jersey communities that were hard hit by Sandy. So, you know, that experience certainly reminded me that we've got to be on two tracks. One is to drive down carbon pollution, but also, as you say, acknowledge the reality that it's pretty late in the game. Climate change is happening, and we need to protect communities to make sure there's not further loss of life and suffering and economic damage. I think this whole issue of more violent weather is really important, and we talk about climate change and that it's not just heat, it's also weather patterns. And it, you know, it affects us across the board. It affects agriculture. It affects the ski industry in upstate New York. It affects healthcare. So So lots of cross-cutting issues here that are impacted by climate change.
Meanwhile, it isn't just us, obviously. This is a global issue. So
yes.
Not only do we have to address it, but we as a world, as a global entity, have to address it.
Yeah, absolutely. And President Obama has spoken out very forcefully that the United States has a role to play, but all countries do. But it would be nice if the United States was a leader in this area, because you then kind of have the bully pulpit to try to share information and leadership and encouragement to other nations to tackle this. It's like the acid rain issue I'm reminded of that we all work so hard on.
Right.
New York could reduce sulfur and nitrogen emissions at New York fossil fuel plants, but we were downwind of so many coal-fired power plants in the Midwest that were devastating the Adirondacks and the Catskills due to acid rain. Air pollution doesn't acknowledge geographic boundaries. So EPA actually took on the acid rain issue in a really big way in the 1990s due to leadership by President George Herbert Walker Bush. And the result was acid rain was reduced about 60% since 1990. So we want to take that same approach to reduce carbon pollution. When I talk to people, they're usually surprised that there are not national Clean Air Act regulations that require fossil fuel power plants to reduce carbon emissions. But they're not. So that's what EPA proposed under the Clean Power Plan for the first time ever. Reduce carbon pollution from existing and proposed fossil fuel power plants so we can have the success that we've had on acid rain. We know how to do this.
The title of your talk at the College of St. Rose on Thursday night is Climate Change, A Call to Action. Going back to Bill McKibben for a moment, he certainly, if there is optimism, and there is optimism with Bill, it's certainly that so many young people are a part of the movement. And he has been instrumental in that with 350.org and a couple of other of his initiatives. So when you speak to college students, do you get that sense that they are very keyed into this and concerned?
Not all, but many. And I think part of that is the benefit of social media. It's so much easier for college students to get information. I mean, when you and I went to the College of St. Rose, oh my goodness, remember we had manual typewriters?
Yes, and no men's rooms.
Yeah, I don't think the internet was invented. We're so old, but college kids these days and young people in their 20s and their 30s are paying attention. They have access to information. They're more likely to kind of tune out the debate on is it or isn't happening, because everyone, just in their own experience, knows that our planet is warming, and if they've got some science literacy, that really helps.
Right.
So I think young people are paying attention. They approach issues in a way a little differently than, say, older folks, and they share information. I mean, oh my gosh, just look at the amount of hours on social media. If we can just get, you know, like 5% of that time focused on environmental protection, this planet would have nothing to worry about.
EPA Regional Administrator and College of St. Rose alum Judith Enk will be speaking at the college on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. The title of the talk is Climate Change, A Call to Action. Stroze.edu for more information. STROSE, stroze.edu has more information. Judith Enk, always a great pleasure to have you on the program. It's wonderful to be wonderful to have you back in town, have you back on campus, and I'll make my students go.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Great to catch up.
Thanks so much. So good to talk to you. Again, Judith Enk at the College of St. Rose, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, stroze.edu for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.